that we grow. And I was listening to someone, and they put it in a way that I could understand it. They were talking about our children and saying, years ago, and if we go back to my mum's generation, I'm one of nine children. So you can imagine, she would just open the door and say, go, come back when you're hungry. And she didn't wrap me in cotton wool, that's for certain. She just said, go and come back when you're hungry. And what's happened over the years is, instead of having six or seven children, there's maybe been one or two. And we kind of want to protect our young ones. But you know what? The same as, I guess, God Father does with us. We need to identify the things that we can do to assist them, our children, on their journey, and things where we need to take our hands off and say, it's okay if you fall. My mum had one remedy for everything. That was germaline. You had a gash in your head, slap some germaline on it. On your knee, slap some germaline on it. Only thing she said to me was, wash your neck. I don't know why I had to wash my neck rather than anywhere else. But what I'm trying to say is, there are times in life where we go through difficult periods. And I want to suggest that as Christians, it's okay. Because it's trial and tribulation that produces character, the Bible says, and character produces hope, and hope will not disappoint. And last week, I used the word or the phrase, our rights. And with rights comes responsibilities. And that's something I brought last week. With rights comes responsibilities. And in Scripture, it says, yet to all who did receive, in John 1, starting at verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, meaning Jesus, to those who believed in his name, meaning Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of a natural descent, nor of a husband's decision or a man's will, but born of God. And the word right there jumped out at me when I was reading it a few weeks ago. With rights comes responsibilities. And sometimes in life as we go along, we want the right. And I can imagine myself doing this at one stage in my life, especially when before I was a Christian. I'd go, well, I have the right to do that. I have the right to do this. And it's my right to say what I think, regardless to how it makes you feel. And I had this air of arrogance about me in the wrong sense of the word. And God got hold of me. And I guess you could say, he said to me, yes, you have the right to say it, but is it going to benefit someone else? Yes, it's truth. But is it truth that will set you free? Will that set the listener free? In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, it says this. I have the right to do anything, you say. Paul's talking to the Corinthians here. I have the right to do anything, you say. And they used to have these phrases that I can say whatever I like. He goes on to say, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is good. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. And if you think about that, as children of God, we have the right to be who we are in Christ Jesus. We have the right to speak the truth. We have the right to accept God's favor. We have rights, but with those rights comes responsibilities. And when it says here, you have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. And it talks about, I will not be mastered, I'll not be enslaved, in other words, by the things in which I have the right to participate in. The Bible talks about lots of things. We can eat, we can drink, we can dance. But are they enslaving us, is one of the questions I want to put. It goes on to say, you say, food for the stomach and stomach for the food. But God will destroy them both. The body, however, is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. And it goes on. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never, he says. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. And I read this portion of scripture out because what it spoke to me about was this. I have rights. As a child of God, I have rights, but I also have responsibilities. A dear friend of ours, he's gone to be with the Lord. He had a problem with alcohol. Chris was an alcoholic, and he wouldn't have minded me saying that because he admitted it himself. Alcohol had mastered him instead of him mastering it. You see, you could say, but he has the right to do anything he likes. That's his body. But I want to suggest to you and to me, as I suggested to Chris, is that when we accept Jesus into our lives, he comes and dwells within us. We sang it in one of our hymns, the hope lives within us. It's the hope of glory. It's Christ himself. The Bible talks about it in this way. It says, when you receive him, you have the right to be called children of God. But also God comes to dwell with us, being born again, born of God's spirit. He comes and he inhabits us. So when I read this portion of scripture, and it goes on about being united with a prostitute, it says, you know, food for the stomach, stomach for food. They're going to disappear. But when it comes to your body, when two become one, I was reminded that wherever I go, Jesus goes with me. Whenever I speak, Jesus listens to my conversation. And I don't know about you, but that was a scary point this week when I was pondering on that thought. So I have the right to say whatever I want to say. But is it beneficial? I have the right to eat whatever I want to eat, but is it beneficial? I have the right to drink whatever I want to drink, but is it beneficial? I have the rights to do and say certain things. And the challenge for us, I believe, in the generation in which we live in, is that if you haven't already heard it, you will hear it, but it's my right. You will hear it in schools, you will hear it in the playground, you will hear it in universities, you will hear it in the workplace, but I have the right. I have the right to medical help. I have the right to be seen within 3 minutes, so the government tells me. I have the right to drive wherever I want to drive. I pay my tax. I have my insurance. I have certain rights, and that is true. But as Christians, I want to encourage us and challenge us to really stop and say, yes, I have the right to do this, but is it beneficial? I have the right to say to someone, you didn't serve me very well when you gave me my coffee. It slopped onto the saucer, but is it going to be beneficial? We have the right to say, I want to complain, but is it going to be beneficial? As a Christian, as a follower of Christ, I need to be reminded, and you need to be reminded, I believe, that God is with us. He's in the conversation. He's listening. He's there as we participate in some of the things we do. As we look through life, there are certain things that master us. Now, I'm not saying there's people here within the congregation that are mastered by alcohol. I'm not saying that at all, but you know someone who is. And maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe there's situations where you just can't stop eating certain things. You cannot stop drinking certain things. You cannot stop watching pornography. You cannot stop looking at the opposite in a certain way. They're all things that are permissible, but not beneficial. Have they got mastery of you? Or have you got mastery of that? Are you enslaved by them, in other words? And when I look through scripture, I am so encouraged and challenged at the same time. In Romans 8, verse 14, it says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So who are we being led by? And if we can't be challenged by these kinds of words in church, where can we be challenged by them? Because all things are permissible. And I don't know about you, but I used to say these things a lot. Well, it doesn't matter. God loves me anyway. And I guess that is true. If I stumble and fall, will God disregard me, or will he help me up and move forward? I believe he'll help me up and move forward. But if I don't learn by the mistakes, then maybe it'll take a little bit longer for God to pick me up. I don't know the doctrine behind that, but I do know this, that God has given me rights, and with those rights comes responsibilities. But it's my responsibility. It's my responsibility to live my life the way God wants me to live my life, and it's your responsibility to live your life the way God wants you to live your life. For those who are led by the Spirit, so as we come to the end of this year, I'm not someone who follows dates very often. In fact, I have to be reminded when it is a special occasion, when it's my birthday, an anniversary, or Christmas even. It's all around you, but I don't follow diaries, I don't follow dates. So this message isn't an end of the year message. It's a message, I believe, that will hopefully challenge us and encourage us to be who God's called us to be and realize that, yes, we have the right as children of God to do certain things, but is it going to benefit us? Is it going to benefit his people? Is it going to benefit those that are listening and watching? And that's the challenge I really want to be. Those that are led by the Spirit. Are we led by the Spirit? Only you know if you are. Led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. And one of the fears that it's talking about here is the fear of death. We know that we're not under that fear of death because although we die, we'll be raised again because Jesus was the first fruits. That's part of the gospel that we've been preached to and what we've heard and what we've accepted. But it talks about slaves here. It says, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, you say, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit. It means God's Spirit testifies with our spirit. That's the born again bit. That's the bit where he dwells with us, that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we might also share in his glory. Scripture doesn't say anywhere that when you become a Christian, everything's going to be good. It says that he is good. It doesn't say that you won't suffer. It says you will suffer. This don't sound like good news, does it? But the good news is he will be there with you through your suffering. God won't leave you on the floor as an orphan. He will pick you up because you've been adopted. The message or the principle I'm trying to put across to us today is we've been given freedoms, but we've also been given responsibilities. In 2 Peter 1, starting at verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need. So one of the questions you may ask is, how do we do this? How do we live this life in a way that God wants us to live it? How do we say the right thing at the right time? Paul says, the things I should do, I find hard, and the things I shouldn't do, I find easy. Anyone else like that? You know, once the words have left my mouth, I know I shouldn't have said them, but it's so easy, isn't it? How can we live this life? Well, Scripture tells us, his divine power, that's the Spirit of God living in us, Lord, I need you, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. He's already given us everything we need. Do you not know you have the right to take hold of it? I've met some people in over the years, and it's a sad thing to say that I've talked to Christians who have not really believed that they're worthy of God's love, not really believed that they're worthy of God's pleasure, his grace. When they receive something good, that they take it but don't really feel they deserve it. Well, God wants to bless his children just as you want to bless your children. God disciplines the ones he loves. So it's okay if we've gone through some tough times. It's okay if we've been challenged. We need to remember, I believe, as we come to the end of this year and the beginning of a new year, his divine power. That's Christ in me, the hope of glory. We've all been given a measure, a deposit of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. When we accepted him as Savior and Lord, the Scripture tells us when we believed on his name, he came and dwelled within us and gave us the rights to be children of God. But with those rights come responsibilities. So today, if you don't feel worthy of the calling God's given you, maybe you should. He's given you a divine power. He's given you everything you need for a godly life. He's already given it. You don't need to ask for more. He's given you it. That's what Scripture tells us here. That's what it's saying here in 2 Peter 1. It says, he's already given us everything we need for a godly life. Through the knowledge of him, the more we get to know him, the more we'll understand. He called us by his own glory and goodness. And through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. so that through them, the promises of God, you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. So Scripture tells us, reminds us, there are desires out there. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. God wants you to be encouraged. It goes on to say in verse 5 of 2 Peter 1, for this very reason, make every effort. That means there's going to be work to do. For me, as a young Christian, I couldn't just sit there and go, okay, God, I'm now yours. You work, you do whatever you want to do, because it doesn't matter, because you know everything. Why bother to get up? Why bother to go to work? Why bother to say anything? Because you already know you've ordained my steps. But it says, make every effort. And there are times in our lives that we have to put the work in. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe, especially in church, we should celebrate those that are working hard. We should celebrate when someone does something or receives something of a blessing. We should celebrate it. If suddenly you're driving a car that's falling to bits and God blesses that person with another vehicle, we should celebrate that. If someone gets a pay rise in their work because they've worked hard, we as Christians should celebrate that. And the reason I say that is because there's an effort involved in everything we do. There's an effort involved. If we want to live a good life, if we want to live a life full of godly principles, there are going to be the enemy's attacks upon us. So as we go through life, if we will be reminded and remind ourselves that we have the right to say certain things and do certain things, but they're not always beneficial. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. So as you prosper in life, let goodness be there with you. And to goodness, knowledge. Let's gain an understanding this next coming year that knowledge, the knowledge of Him, is what we need. Lord, show me, add to me, encourage me. And to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mature affection, and to mature affection, love. For if we possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive. In your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but whoever does not have these qualities, they're going to be bound up and foolish. God's already given us answers in His Word. He's already given us the answer to the question. If we want to go into this next year, we need, I believe, to be led by the Spirit. But before we can be led by the Spirit, we need to be filled by the Spirit. We need to be a Christian, a Christ follower. We need to be someone who has said, Lord, forgive me for my sins, my trespasses. And we're living in an age, I believe, where the word sin is an offensive word, but actually it's a good word. It's a word that brings correction. It's a word that will make us stop and say, Lord, I need you. So we know that we're sinners saved by grace, don't we? So if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Spirit. If we're filled by the Spirit, then we need to allow the Spirit to lead us. So as you go into this next year, whatever the burdens you've carried, leave them at the foot of the cross. I remember, as a very young Christian, I was on a sponsored holiday, a Christian holiday. Someone paid for me and Susan's family to go. And there was a young man there and he was preaching a very simple message. And he was talking about the burdens that we have in life. And he said, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but it's worth saying it again because it's so simple but so powerful. He says, you know, we have these burdens in suitcases chained around our wrists and we carry them. Everywhere we go, we take these burdens with us. And when we accept Christ as Savior and Lord, He cuts the chains. He cuts the chains and the burdens fall. And He said, so often we leave the burdens at the foot of the cross. We accept this new life. We're born again into His family and we feel clean. And then after a few days, we miss those burdens. So we go back to the cross and we pick them up. And we carry on with them. It's in our power to let go of them because God has already set us free. So as Christians, let's be led by the Spirit. Let's be filled by the Spirit. Let's realize that with rights comes certain responsibilities. In Romans 6, verse 5, For if we have been united with him in our death, a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So, right back to the first portion of Scripture. If we've accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, he's given us the right to become children of God. He's cleansed us, he's clothed us in his righteousness, he's set us free from sin so that we're no longer slaves to sin. But I want to suggest that sometimes in life, just as the illustration of cutting the chains and releasing the burdens, sometimes we as Christians, we go back and we take that old familiar friend with us because we miss them. The things we used to say, the things we used to do, the things we used to drink, the things we used to watch, we so often we miss them. But God has given us everything we need for a godly life if we will choose to take our rights and our responsibilities along at the same time. I want to encourage us as we come to the end of this year and the beginning of the next to be all that God has called us to be. In Luke 17, Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." There are opportunities that we have. There are opportunities that we have to cause someone else to stumble. You see, I have the right to say certain things to you because I'm a child of God. But some of the things I say are not always beneficial. And you have the right to say certain things as a child of God. But some of the things you say might not be beneficial. Some of the things you do, I might not be able to do. Some of the things I do, you might not be able to do. The Bible talks about stumbling, causing your brother to stumble. I can remember many years ago, a friend of ours, they went to watch a certain movie at the theatre. That's an old saying, isn't it? The pictures. They went to watch this film. And I watched it and thought, it's not suitable for me. I don't want to watch it. So I had a conversation with my friends and I said, "God's given you the right to watch that film, and for you, it was fine. But if you say to me, 'Go and watch this film, it's really good,' it might cause me to stumble. You see, God has given me certain things that I can do that you can't. Because I don't have a problem with drink, because at the age of 14, I got paralytic, I got alcoholic poisoning, and I don't like drink, I don't like alcohol. Many, many years ago, I had a conversation with Phil. Phil liked alcohol. So what I would not do was say, 'Phil, come round. We're having a party. Bring a bottle.' I'd be causing him to stumble. Now, I can say that because Phil's testified himself to what God did in his life. Part of that challenge was for his own health, his marriage. He looked at other people around and go, 'Well, if you can do it, then I can do it. God help me.' See, I can go to a pub where everyone's having lots of drink, but in the early days, if Phil had gone, maybe he would have stumbled and thought, one's okay, because I have the right to do that. God says all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. So the point I'm making here is, when we talk about causing other people to stumble, let's not mistake the rights that we have and neglect the responsibilities that we have. I hope this is coming across right, because like I said, I can go into a place where there's lots of alcohol and I can have a drink if I so wish to, because I will not stumble. But if I cause someone else to stumble, that's the wrong thing to do. There may be things that you can watch on TV and you put them into context and you go, that's okay for me. I can watch that. But someone else can't. We have rights, we have responsibilities. So part of what we do is to take the rights that we have been given, enable God to speak to us afresh, find out what those responsibilities are, and not become a stumbling block to someone else. Romans 14:20. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. Now, I put that in there just to illustrate what I was trying to say a few moments ago. Do not destroy the work for the sake of food. There may be, we had a conversation, Jill and I, Bernie and Jill, about food with a couple last week. And Jill's a vegetarian, is that right? And I'm not. Jill doesn't have a problem with me eating meat in front of her. Do you, Jill? No. But if she did, when I invite Jill and Bernie for a meal, I'm not going to dish up pork. Why? I have the right to do so, don't I? Is that true? Does God say that I can't dish up pork or beef or chicken? He doesn't. But it's going to cause someone to stumble. So I have the rights, but I also have the responsibilities. Does this make sense? So you have certain rights, but you also have certain responsibilities. So as we go into this next year, when someone wrongs us, it's our responsibility not to take offense. Well, that's not fair. Life sucks sometimes, doesn't it? But you know what? If we want to grow, then Scripture's already said, if someone sins against you 7 times in one day, and they come back 7 times, forgive them. So with rights come responsibilities. So there are things that we can do, and there are things we can say, and things we can watch, but we're not to cause someone else to stumble. I won't mention the film, but I went to see a film at the Pictures, and it was epic. It was absolutely epic. It was a film that I would never, ever go and watch if someone had told me what it was about, because it was blood and gore and guts everywhere. And it was a story about a man who went to protect his people, to protect his colleagues, and he ended up during a war confrontation saving over 100 of his wounded friends. But I wouldn't recommend it to you because it's full of guts and gore. But it was a great film. See, I can cope with that. My wife, however, had her eyes closed and she wanted to punch me at the end of it for taking her. And it was one of the few films that I cried at the end and I clapped in the cinema. I clapped because it was such an epic film. Now you all want to know what it is. Well, I'm not going to tell you because I don't want you to stumble. Because for me, I could handle that, but some of you might not be able to. That's the very thing I'm talking about. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. So if you don't remember anything of this message, remember that. All things, because you're children of God, God's given you the right to do certain things, to say certain things, to be a certain person, to act in a certain way, but not everything we do, say, and act in are going to be beneficial for someone else. Let's not cause other people to stumble as we go through this journey. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. But so when we look at the things people like me say, and you may stick on a TV or you may listen to a podcast, another Christian author or a Christian evangelist, and you're challenged and you say to yourselves, how am I going to do this? Well, you do it by being led by the Spirit. Before you can be led by the Spirit, you have to be filled by the Spirit. You have to know that God is living in you. But goes on to say this, do not conform to the pattern of this world. But Lord, it's so hard. But be transformed. How? Glad you asked. By the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. You see, God gives us a new way of thinking. But because, just like Christmas, when someone gives you a gift, you have to receive it, don't you? If you want to test that theory, bring me a gift next week and I'll just show you how it works. Money's fine. checks are okay, or bank transfers. I will receive them. It's the same as this. It talks about, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Brilliant, I haven't got to conform to the pattern of this world. It doesn't say that. It says, you've got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind to not be conformed to the pattern of this world. So we could sit there and say, God's done it all on the cross, and he has. Everything has already been accomplished for you and me. God has already given you everything you need, he says, for a godly life. He's given you the right to accept it, but he's given you the responsibility, I believe, to use it. So do not conform to the pattern of this world, to the blueprint of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. David, the psalmist, would say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Father, help me to walk the walk and to talk the talk. Help me, Lord, to be who you want me to be. And as we seek God through this next year, as we ask him to fill us, as we ask him to enable us, as we ask him to speak to us, he will. Invite God to challenge you and encourage you at the same time. Ask God to convict you. When you watch something you shouldn't watch, Lord, convict me. Okay, I'll turn it off. It's going to cost you something. Sudan and I, we've paid money, we've gone to the pictures, the cinema, and we've sat down, and within 5 minutes we've got up and walked out because we couldn't handle what we were seeing. And that was a 12A, and we couldn't handle it. And then we can go to another film, which is an 18, and we can handle it. But we couldn't. It's going to cost you something if you ask God to show you, reveal to you, create in me a clean heart. We have the right, but we also have the responsibilities. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Lord, should I? If you're filled by the Spirit and you're led by the Spirit, you'll be approved by the Spirit. You'll know what God's will is. Let him conform you to his pattern, not to the pattern of this world. My final scripture is in Romans 6:16. Do you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to life. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Now, to be righteous before God means to have a right standing with God. Because we've accepted him by his name, he comes to live in us. Because we're born of his Spirit, he guides us. Because he guides us, he teaches us. Because he teaches us, he challenges us. Because he challenges us, he rebukes us. Because he rebukes us, it's because he loves us. Now, we can either be a slave to the world's pattern, or we can be a slave to righteousness. He has already said through Scripture that when we've accepted him as Savior and Lord, we've been set free from our sins. Does that mean we never sin again? Is there anyone here that has never sinned or missed the mark or done something, said something, had an attitude since they become a Christian? Is there anyone who's never walked in that darkness? Good. Well, we can carry on then. We all have, haven't we? But we've been set free from the penalty of sin. That's death. We've been set free so that we can have an eternal life. Because in the scriptures I read at the beginning, it says, when we died a death with him. When he rose, we were also being raised with him. So I want to finish with this final few words, which is, we've been given the right to be children of God. And with that right comes certain responsibilities. With those responsibilities comes challenge. With those challenges becomes a cost. Are we willing to pay the cost to say no to certain things and yes to others? Are we willing to pay the cost to allow someone else to err against us, to someone else to sin against us? Are we willing to take that pain and give it back to God? Are we willing to take our responsibilities as well as our rights? We have the right to defend ourselves, don't we? We do. We have the right to defend ourselves. But there are times where we shouldn't take those rights. We should just take the responsibilities. There are other times where we need to stand up for what is wrong and do the right thing. And it will cost as well. So coming to the end of this year, if you've got any burdens that you're still carrying, let them go because you've been set free from them. As we go into this next year, as we are challenged by the rights and the responsibilities that God has given us, let us rise up. Let us celebrate one with another. Let us know and let others know that we are born of Him, that God lives within us. And in that scripture that says, talks about being united with a prostitute, just remember, whatever we do, wherever we go, whatever we say, He's there with us. He's there with us. So let's be challenged so that we can be all that God's called us to be. Because I believe we're living in an age, and every minister will probably say this, and every generation will say this, but we're living in an age where there are many gods. But for you and me, there's only one God, isn't there? Let's make that God Lord of our hearts. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the rights to be called children of God. Father, help us to take the responsibilities that come along with those rights. Lord, that we would know, we would discern the things we can do and the things we can't do, the things we should do and the things we shouldn't do, the things we can say and the things we shouldn't say. That, Father God, that you would help us this year not to be a stumbling block to anyone else. That, Father God, that you would speak to us and you would fill us afresh. Lord, you would lead us by your Spirit. Guide us through your light. Plant us firmly on your foundation. We ask this in Jesus' name. And his people said, Amen.